the spring of 2009, incidents at Auburn and Cole Harbor High brought the attention of youth violence to the media. As youth members of HRM, we wanted to know what the root causes of youth violence were. Also, we wanted to shed some light and hear some voices that have been neglected. What role does youth discrimination and racism play in youth violence? What was the responsibility of the police force and the education system? And finally, what can put a stop to youth violence?
What do you think is responsible for youth violence?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer. I think there's a lot of factors. Economic circumstances are a large part. You also have the fragmentation of the family unit. There's a lot of things responsible that go up and influence youth violence, I think.
I think also a lack of programs or things for people to do besides violence makes it that much easier for people who are already involved in bad situations like gangs or something like that to appeal to young people who are seeking community and support from a peer group. So I would say that I would add that that's a factor as well.
It's difficult to say. We never really have a clear answer, but if I could pinpoint something in my mind, I know this is a big cause of controversy, I know, but I'd say it's the media, myself. It's video games, it's people taking things a little too seriously.
I don't think that violence is the way to go, but I know that's usually what happens. First, people are trying to be peaceful, and they're trying to get their voice heard, but when nobody's listening to you, that's how you get it heard.
Well, I think youth violence reflects fractures in society in general, so poverty, lack of employment opportunities, hopelessness, lack of education, lack of direction. I think what we see in the youth is not, like, people go, oh, the youth are out of control, but what it is a society out of control that's reflected in the youngest members. So.
Thank you all for coming out today to show our support not only to the students who have been victims, not only of police brutality, but of the injustice system that exists here in Nova Scotia and across Canada, but also come out for the general issue of dealing with the criminalization of youth, but particularly the criminalization of black youth.
Reality ain't always the truth. Wrongs equal actual life in the youth.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice.
Education.
For our generation.
Dennis Popcorn Millbrook Projects. The original criminal-minded rap topic. 20 cents in my pocket, I saw the light. If you're young, gifted, and black, you got no rights. Your only true right is a right.
Yes, a number of times throughout my life, sure.
Society is not set up for black people, so every time I step outside of my door, I step into a world that is not designed for me. So I mean, that in itself is racist every time I step outside my house. Or when I stay in the house and turn on the TV, none of that is aimed at me or for me. So pretty much everything in North American society, from schools to the food industry to medication, is not designed with my life in mind. So I'd have to say, yeah, pretty much every day, every time I open my eyes.
Cause every black kid lives 2 and 3 lives. The city's a jungle, only the strong will survive. Reality ain't always the truth. Rhymes equal actual life in the youth. Reality ain't always the truth.
Context behind it all, that there's been an ongoing discrimination against black and other, particularly non-white youth in the schools, as well as not just in the schools, but just around town, stopping people, asking questions and all that, just ongoing kind of harassment. And I think that's the larger context, that this is the escalation, you could say the climax is the points which the police actually come into the schools, but there's more behind that that just happens more methodically.
Me carrying a bag of some sort. Life is short, white meat is quickly caught. A scuffle, a muffle, yet none of us hesitated. Like Mother Africa, white meat is violated. We quickly disappear like Santa's little elves and go into an area to fight amongst ourselves. We say peace, cause that's what we really want. A piece of the pie that America flaunts. Reality ain't always the truth. Rhymes equal actual life in the youth. Reality ain't always the truth. Rhymes equal actual life in the youth. The truth is that police must serve and protect. Reality is black youth is shown no respect. The truth is government has a war against drugs. Reality is government is ruled by thugs. With all this technology above and
we
under.
We will never be able to stop both racism and youth violence. Do you agree with that?
The way the system is structured right now, that is absolutely true.
Now, do you think that some police officers discriminate against youth because of the way they dress or their skin color?
Oh, I know they do, because I've dealt with it all my life.
Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police.
The police totally discriminate. It's racial profiling or age profiling. Could be just groups of teens hanging out that they feel shouldn't be hanging in whatever the location is, and therefore they think the teens must be up to something and they want to go, you know, harass them or what have you.
I've been like biking on the streets and I've been stopped by police and stuff before, and like wearing my helmet, not breaking any laws, but just like warned or talked to or stuff like that, but for nothing, like I didn't do anything wrong.
Just because you're a young person, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing something wrong. And I think that it possibly adds to the problem. If somebody's constantly approaching you and telling you that they suspect you're doing something wrong, then you get to a point where you think, well, what's the point? I might as well be doing something wrong because I'm going to get hassled anyways.
Actually, when I was 12, me and two of my friends, one of my friends was from Egypt, another one was from East India, we were biking along on this side highway on our way to some pizza joint, and a police officer stopped us, pulled us over, we were on our bikes, and asked us where we got the bikes from and was inquiring into whether or not they were stolen. Like, they were our bikes. Like, there's no reason for him to come to this conclusion other than three dark guys biking along late at night. Looked suspicious, and that was my first lived experience that I can recall, like if I go back as far as I can, where I definitely felt like this is racial discrimination.
That's the sound of the police.
You want to talk about police? We actually have what I'd consider one of the most racist police departments in Canada again, where our own Halifax Police Department is being taken to the Human Rights Board by another officer, a black female officer, who is being threatened at work by her white coworker. So when I see stuff like that, it's like if the police can't get along and they treat other officers with racism, then what do they do to the average citizen out there?
Are you really for peace and equality? Or when my car's hooked up, you know you want to follow me. Your laws are minimal, because you won't even think about looking at the real criminal.
So the idea that we hand over control of our own things to people whose job isn't to protect us, it's to protect the property of, you know, people who have property, right? The police are there to protect rich people and to, you know, make sure that you're not running around disrupting them, and they're there to protect a country against its own citizens, which doesn't make any sense, right? So there isn't really any institution that's by the people for the people, right? And we hand over control because that's democracy, right? That's what we think we're doing. But we don't, who vote, do you vote for the police chief? Did you, you know? You're not allowed to, right? You don't decide any of those things. There's no reason for these things looking the way they do, right? They're that way because it serves a different purpose. And then we believe it's for our education, our safety, but it's not.
That's the sound of the police!
Oh!
Well, I think youth violence reflects fractures in society in general, so poverty, lack of employment opportunities, hopelessness, lack of education, lack of direction.
From the bottomless pit. Youth are continually ignored in the public schools. Youth are not encouraged to effectively participate. Decisions aren't taken seriously. The way the whole school is structured is talking down to youth. And the youth are supposed to just regurgitate what they hear and are not meant to actually initiate things, decide what they're even going to learn, how they're going to learn, any of that stuff. I think that's like pushing people into a corner. And the way I see it is like whenever you push anyone into a corner and you take something away from someone and you keep doing this and prodding that person is eventually going to react violently. That happens in all situations.
Redemption songs. I mean, nobody's looked at the principal's role in this, like what was out of control in the school. It's all blamed on the youth, and there's no investigation of the police conduct and of the principal's conduct. Have no fear for atomic energy, because none of them can stop the time.
See, white pride is hidden in ways like that. Like, oh, your education system is built so that you learn all about white history. And maybe you do like a week here and there in grade 5 on First Nations people. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever
our opinions are not taken seriously or continue to like be kept in these like essentially prisons, which are like what the schools are like all day, and not allowed to express themselves. You get the stratification which produces violence.
So school isn't necessarily there to educate you. It's there to make sure that you can get a job and work for somebody else, right? The police are there to protect rich people. And the school board is there to protect the decisions of the superintendent and, mostly the principal. None of them can stop at the time.
How long shall they kill our prophets? It's a whole process. How are we even being educated, and who's doing it, and at what point do you actually get to decide how it's happening? And I think, everyone should be encouraged and given the space to speak their minds, because if people feel like they can't get anything through dialogue and discussion, they're going to use their fists.
Now, do you think that the school and the police force and even the government go completely out of their way so that they don't look racist?
Yep. Maybe I can answer that in one word. Yes, I think they do. It's important that they do. Racism is actually being taught.
And when somebody calls you the N-word in kindergarten, he's a young child, right? He has to be taught that.
Well, I think parents are going to teach their kids what they want to teach them. It's their child, and they're going to teach them to, they're going to raise them up with what they know. So I find a lot of people who are racist, it's stuff that's been passed down to them. They don't necessarily know what it means. It's just something that's kind of passed down to you as a kid, and then as you go through life, it kind of shapes you. Got
to fulfill the book. I mean, when does school become like it looks? Why can't school look something else? Why can't we learn under trees, Like, there's no reason for these things looking the way they do, right? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, all I ever had, redemption songs. Songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Intoxicated.
as opposed to questioning what's on media, I always question what's not on media. So my question is, what was going on in the world while all of our main news channels that we really rely on to give us information about what's happening in the world, while they were all busy for a week telling us about Michael Jackson, what was happening in the world, what policies were being put forth in different governments, what genocide was going on in different countries, and just things like that. Like, but I mean, not even just Michael Jackson. Like, you got like, what, 100 channels on TV, right? And you have maybe, I don't know, 10 news channels. Everything else is sitcom, sports, you know, music shows. But, you know, what does that have to really do with anything that affects us socially in the world, like, really? Famous people and they fat and ugly. I ain't any better. I just think the fact is funny. That will take a little girl and pimp her for the cash and money. They don't want you to know stuff, so they're showing you this so that your attention is not on something else. No one really cares, and ain't nobody gonna hold you when you really scared. And they just, for young people, I think it treats young people like they're stupid. It only shows them products that they can buy. It only shows them like sports and entertainment. It doesn't really show young people anything that they can get into, anything political, anything that would really want to motivate a young person to become involved in society. So I think it's the media in regards to young people is kind of about numbing their minds. They're just like, just kind of fitting in. And so, yeah, that's how they treat young people. I think that's how they look at them. It's kind of all just market towards them and try to get kids to buy stuff, which I guess kind of leads to how the police in turn treat the young kids once they buy what was marketed to them. So, yeah, I don't know. The media definitely plays into it. The media is... it's run by a couple of companies that have a very specific agenda as to what they want everyone else to see, and that's what they put on their channels. So. It's a matter of what you watch, you know. So if you watch BET, then you're going to think, like, you know, all black youth are, you know, criminals and into the thug culture. They tell you that there's something wrong with you, you need they drugs, but there ain't nothing fucking wrong with you, they big and thugs. If I watch much music and I just watch indie bands all day, then I'm gonna think, you know, whatever, everyone has, like, you know, red hair and spiked hair and you're all crazy on drugs or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever you watch is gonna promote specific stereotypes, especially, like, you know, because the TV stations aren't owned by, like, fair thinking people, so they only really put stereotypes on TV, and then you get caught up in that stereotype towards whatever the other group is. And in particular with hip hop, because it's a lot of black on black violence within hip hop, so you get those groups, you get black people turning on black people in terms of youth violence. Yeah. My neighborhood doesn't have the things that are reported on it in the news, like shootings or what have you, so people don't have the same fear. What I find actually funny, though, is that I'm probably 90% more afraid to be in the South End and in Portland Hills and some of these neighborhoods than I am to be in North Preston. And this is a conversation I have with people all the time. Like, you know, people are scared because, you know, there might have been a shooting in North Preston or a body was found in North Preston or something like that. And you'll have an altercation, you know, maybe once every 5 or 6 months something happens, and then the news makes a huge, huge deal of it and it stays in the news forever. And you think, oh my God, this is such a bad neighborhood. Meanwhile, over here in Halifax, I live just across the street from the campus, and I'm petrified over here. There's always parties with drunk university students. There's, I don't know how many cases in the last years of people, like perverts, going in apartments and watching women sleep and all these kind of things. And you got swarmings and all that kind of stuff. I mean, far more incidences of violence happen in the South End on a daily basis than they do in any of the black communities or any of the low income neighborhoods that are generally considered violent or have stereotypes associated with them. Schools, the government, the media, they totally try to hide racism. But at the same time that they do try to hide it, they make it like a whole lot worse than what it is. The media portrayal of Coal Harbor and Auburn is really, really sad. I think this is a prime example of like just who runs the media and what they're trying to promote as an agenda. I think there's kind of been a negative perception of the Preston areas and the whole Coal Harbor riots and that sort of thing. That's what media is, right? Like, media just wants like a few juicy details. They don't really care about the actual story. All they care is fight, police called in, bunch of black kids arrested. The fact that the fight didn't even start with this particular group of students that was arrested is irrelevant to them. There's just so many details that they overlook. Here's one of the reasons why you don't notice it either. If you'll find a swarming and it says, two males approached a guy and took his wallet, and then that story's there. And then the next one down will be, there was a shooting in Dartmouth. The suspect was a young black male in baggy jeans. And the next one will be, there was a double murder in Halifax, and they won't, like, basically my point is, if they don't describe the race of the suspect or of the victim, then it's white, because that's kind of the norm. It's the generic, a race doesn't need to be applied to it. However, if any of the suspects or the victim were black, it will be identified by black or another minority, so that you know. So basically what happens is you have a whole bunch of crime, and there's no race associated with that crime, so that's just generic, normal crime happening in the city, and it's nothing special. However, if a race is attached to it, then you, in your mind, say, oh, it's always a black person, or it was a Lebanese person, or it was Arab person or whatever, Chinese person or whatever. There's only race applied when it's non-white, because white is basically considered the generic norm. So you don't really notice when crime happens amongst white people, because it's not labeled as such. It's just crime. So it doesn't seem like a big deal, because we know there's crime everywhere. We know there's crime in Halifax. It's just crime. It's not like a shooting amongst minorities or some type of crime against minorities. Like, those are crimes. Everything else is kind of just normal. If you look through the newspaper and you ever see any of those like little short synopsis where they have like four or five things that happened locally, just read through and you could totally find out what it was that happened, because they'll identify the race, so you'll know who it was and what neighborhood.
TV's all about conditioning, so shows like Law and Order teach the enemies within us, and they'll never show the system.
The media, in regards to young people, is kind of about numbing their minds.
Be kept in these, like, essentially prisons, which are like what the schools are like, all day, and not allowed to express themselves, you get the stratification which produces violence. Okay, then who's doing it, and at what point do you actually get to decide how it's happening? And I think, everyone should be encouraged and given the space to speak their minds. Because if people feel like they can't get anything through dialogue and discussion, they don't have some space. If the cops are taught what suspicious looks like, then that's what it takes to look suspicious. It looks like whatever image they're given in their heads, it's just reinforced. And I think, yeah, as long as that, it's like a system, a repeating system, where it, racism is actually being taught, and then it just keeps on going, and then they discriminate, police discriminate against black youth. Even like black police officers are taught to do the same thing. It's like all of them. And then that perpetuates the cycle of violence where the youth get more backs up against the wall. They're tired of being pushed around by the police, and then you hear about incidents like throwing rocks back at the cops, like, because they're fed up. It's like, what do you expect? Target certain people, and then there's some police officers who go against the grain and they don't really buy all the stuff they're taught, and they're the ones who tend to be known as the nicer cops, who are not really just like operating totally by the book. They're using their own heads too to judge situations. I think it's like all over the place, but they're, I think the way folks are being taught is to not be so open-minded, but then there's some who just try. The way the system is structured right now, that is absolutely true, because youth are continually ignored. In the public schools, youth are not encouraged to actually effectively participate. Decisions aren't taken seriously. The way the whole school is structured is talking down to youth, and the youth are supposed to just regurgitate what they hear, but are not meant to actually initiate things, decide what they're even going to learn, how they're going to learn, any of that stuff. I think that's like pushing people into a corner. And the way I see it is, like, whenever you push anyone into a corner and you take something away from someone and you keep doing this and prodding that person eventually going to react violently. That happens in all situations. That's why prisons promote more violence, not less violence. So I think that while the system is structured this way, where youth are nothing but, you know, fodder for the future, for, you know, like future laborers or whatever, and our opinions are not taken seriously or continue to like be kept in these like essentially prisons, which are like what the schools are like, all day, and not allowed to express themselves, you get the stratification which produces violence.
Today, because we face a crisis. We face a crisis as it relates to our youth. We face a crisis as it relates to the educational system. We are here today because of the urgency of the moment. We are here because of the recent incident at Auburn and Cole Harbor High, and the brutalization and the criminalization of our black youth. To deny a person the things that make for life, liberty, and the security of the person is to say to that person, you don't have the right to exist. And this is what Nova Scotia has been saying to us for a long, long time, that we don't have the right to exist as a people. Last year, we developed 250 years of democracy in Nova Scotia. 250 years later, we are still clamoring and advocating for democracy. We are here today to send a message to those who are responsible for the injustices that we face, that criminalization and the victimization and discrimination must end. Of non-violent direct action.
I think it's important to bear in mind that this so-called Democracy 250 is built on the genocide and dispossession of the First Nations.
Now, what do you think can and should be done to stop youth violence?
That's a very tricky question again, because the issue is so multifaceted. I think that you should we can work by, I don't know, building, as you said, youth centers. I mean, it's a start. Another thing we could work to eliminate economic disparity, or at least minimize it. And I think that by doing that, we will create more opportunities and thus help move youth away from violence, hopefully.
I think that it's just really important for everybody to remember that they were young once too, and try to imagine how they felt when they were young and what it was like, and what they just desperately wanted other people to understand about them, and reflect that in the way that they conduct themselves as adults. I would say that, number one, we just need to listen to young people, because a lot of the times they'll tell you what they need or what they think would be useful for them program-wise, places to go, a lit place to even stand where they're not going to get hassled all the time.
The media needs to stop just feeding us lies and changing things around so that we hear completely different things than what actually happened in order to stop youth violence.
The media needs to stop its unfair betrayal and biased opinions about the youth violence going on at our schools, and the youth need to be united against the bigger problem, which is obviously the pointless police brutality, or this cloud of discrimination and darkness will never lift.
What needs to be done to stop youth violence is, see, they have the wrong idea, and they think it's all about, like, incarcerating youth that have done crimes, and in my opinion, it's all about prevention before the crime's actually committed. So, what actually me and a couple of friends of mine are actually putting together a group to do this, it's to showcase their talent and to bring them together as a community. Like, that's the reason a lot of youth join gangs, because they want to feel as if they're part of something. But the main focus is to showcase their talents in both the arts as well as sports, to make them regain confidence, as well as hopefully when we get funds, we are gonna have them work and actually run the whole organization themselves for money, so they don't feel like they have to turn to to other ways of making money, such as drug dealing or robbery. And I think that's it. I think, like, you can educate them all you want, but really it comes down to them. And I think just educating them isn't enough, because most of the cases, it won't change their mind. I think you have to make them feel part of something, and also you have to make them feel wanted and important by showcasing their talents. And that's what I think should be done and can be done.
I think youth violence can be stopped if we put aside the things that we think matter most to us, such as money and images in the media, and really dig down and think about what is going to stop this problem that's affecting so many people. And I think if we can just forget about the stuff that's distracting us and really find the root problems and stop just putting a band-aid on them and just really fixing them and really resolving them, I think we can do it.